Welcome to Two Therapists Talking. The hope for this podcast is to talk about important issues related to couples and individuals who are struggling in their lives with many different issues. I'm David Thompson, a marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Sherry Christensen, marriage and family therapist. Please join us as we explore these issues together, and we hope you will learn and be enlightened along the way. Come find us at twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.
Hi, and welcome back to Two Therapists Talking. I'm David.
And I'm Sherry.
We are getting today into the other side of where we left off with the last two sessions. I'm actually really happy to go through this again because we did not go through it for a year and a half or so since we first did it. And we've made some changes. And so I'm excited to do a newer, better, updated version. I almost want to re-record the last ones and just say, go look at this other episode.
Put a disclaimer on it. Just go to the new ones.
New ones are a little more thorough, maybe. So
yeah, more things that can be useful and helpful. It's always good to do, every time you do therapy for longer, there's more things that you're like, oh, this would be really helpful to include that and make sure people know about that. So
we learn a lot through just experience. And as we're doing more and more therapy, we find what's more and more effective and or just how to present something differently. So hopefully this is helpful. I think it will be.
Yeah.
I like talking about this. So.
Yep. Here we go.
So last two sessions, steps to recovery for the addicted or offending partner, just a really nice roadmap. If you follow this roadmap, you will probably be doing very well. And I hear this a lot. People come in and say, I just need to know what to do now. Like, I just don't, like if there was like a list or something, like great, that's exactly what we can help to do. So that one is for the addicted partner. This time, today, this episode and the next episode, we want to talk about the betrayed partner and what the steps to recovery are for them.
Yeah, how you can heal. So some of these are kind of parallel items.
Yeah.
Because they're just generally things that you either need to do to become like a 2.0 version of yourself, or they're things that are parallel because it's a healing space. You know, we talk about, you know, sobriety and recovery for the offending addicted partner a lot of times.
Right.
But it's a tremendous amount of healing that is going on. And so sometimes I think when we talk to betrayed partners, they're like, why do I have to have like recovery? I'm not addicted.
Right,
I'm not,
right.
You know, those kinds of things. And really the things that are parallel are because they are healing things. And they're things that are going to help the both sides to heal themselves and then the relationship.
Yep.
So the first one that we want to talk about for the betrayed partner is time and space. We're going to talk about boundaries in a minute, but this is a type of boundary. It's a part of that. We really want the betrayed partner to be able to slow down.
Yes.
And take their time. Because when you have something this big that comes up, there's a lot of emotions that are going to come up. There's a lot of traumatic responses that can come up. And sometimes when we are in those places, well, most of the time when we have something that's very distressing or traumatic, our brains will go into kind of all or nothing thinking, into survival mode. And all of these things are going to prevent you from making really healthy decisions in your situation.
Exactly. And probably the most, the hardest part often of discovery or learning something and coming in is this pressure to do something right away.
Yeah.
Because there's been so much change. Everything feels often like it's upside down. And so it's like, okay, something has to be drastic here. My reaction, my response has to be big. And I think what I've seen, and probably Sherry too, you want to refrain from big decisions, big reactions. It's okay to slow down and just say, you know what? I'm going to need to process.
Yeah.
I don't want to jump to anything. Usually that will look like just in one direction anyway. And so slow down. We'll talk more about support because that's really important. Some may make it worse for you.
Yeah. Some people, some quote unquote support people in your life. Yeah. Right. Could end up making it worse.
And so time and space, slow down. There's no need to rush to make a decision or to know what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm. And giving yourself that ability to make sure that who you're reaching out to for help with that process and support with that process are going to be people who are going to be useful.
Yes.
Just anytime you slow down and start breathing and, you know, getting into your body, you know, we just want to give you that space to make decisions that are going to be healthy.
Right.
And create a space that is going to give you the best chance for recovery and healing for yourself, for your partner, and for the relationship.
Right. And sometimes that means an in or out of house separation,
mm-hmm.
while you figure things out. And absolutely anticipate that this processing is going to take time. And that's
for sure.
Okay. That's okay that it takes time. I mean, right away, you're just in so much information gathering mode anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to make a decision before you know more.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you don't know everything just because you've learned a few things. And
right.
So really, really slow down. And it's okay to say, hey, while we're doing this process, I would like for you to be in the guest bedroom. That's fair. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes to stay somewhere else. And
right. Depending on severity of things.
Depending on the
whatnot.
Situation. And hopefully, you know, you're working with someone or you have someone
yes.
to talk to that can help you to see through that. But
yes. Yes. All of those things are going to be, you want to make sure that you have, that you're working with a therapist and working with someone who understands different levels of severity and typical appropriate boundary and separation things based on those things. You know, if you're looking at affairs, that's going to look a lot different.
Yeah.
The sorting through that you're going to have to
yep.
do and the time and space you're going to need, that's going to be a lot different than if maybe you've just found out that your spouse has looked at porn, you know, once a month or something like that. Like
right.
it's a very different space. And while, yes, both of those can feel very distressing if you've never had that information before, some of those boundaries and different things like that are going to be different. And so time and space, breathing through this will give you a lot more room to make healthy decisions for yourself and for your relationship.
Right. Which brings us to our second point, which is boundaries. And that's what the time and space is boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked a lot about boundaries. We have episodes
yes.
on boundaries. So if you've heard those, I know this is familiar. We're creating boundaries that protect you from harmful behavior, and there's consequences, and you follow these consistently. Often
yes.
we talk about boundaries a lot. It's harder to follow through and be consistent. And often
right.
when issues continue, it was a lack of holding boundaries more than anything else.
Yes.
And so I guess this is true for any sort of recovery, anything,
mm-hmm.
or reaching goals or accomplishing anything. If we can be consistent with holding boundaries that we've set up, with help, again, sometimes you need help to know what a good boundary or a good consequence would be.
Right.
But you're allowed, give yourself permission to have really good boundaries that you have set up. They're non-negotiable. This is to try to help you as you process through this time.
Right. And some of those, and really good boundaries doesn't necessarily, that's not necessarily based on the strength of the boundary. I just want to point that out because sometimes when people are like, oh, I have to set a boundary or I have to set a really good boundary, in their mind, that means like jumping to the most extreme strong boundary that there is. Like that's what a really good strong boundary is. Like David said, I need strong boundaries. So, you know, this is what I'm going to do. That's not necessarily the case. What we want is something, is the boundary that's going to be most effective for you, to give you the time and space and processing room that you need, and keeping you safe from those harmful behaviors.
Right.
But also gives you appropriate space to be able to work through things that need to be worked through and take time and all of that. So again, one of the reasons for time and space is so you don't jump too far. And so when we talk about having good, strong boundaries, and that's really, really important, that we don't want you jumping too far with those.
Great point, actually. You know, just to give you some idea, there's usually at least three really important early boundaries, like around dishonesty, around your feelings being hurt, either behavior or statements being said that just are hurting your feelings, and some boundaries around just your person, like being touched, being hugged, affection, you know, having permission first, these kinds of things, just to give you a little bit of a buffer while you're, again, figuring things out. Because it can be very complicated when you're hurting, but you also want to support your partner, if that's the case, which is great. But you don't know quite how to navigate, like, is this too much? What if I do this? And I will say, even with good boundaries, trust how you feel, because sometimes there's just a moment that is a really good moment, and the boundary might have been you aren't allowed to, you know, be with me right now, or talk to me, or be this close, or something like that. But your heart says, no, this is meaningful and important, and we're doing something that matters. And so, a little bit complicated, I would just say, you know, when we say follow your heart, try to trust your gut, your intuition, when it's in a place of love and trust and peace and calm, absolutely trust that. If it's like this fear thing, it may not be your intuition, it just may be your fear. Mm-hmm. And so the difference there is sometimes you have to figure that out, but
Yes. I think definitely having those strong boundaries, meaning, I think when we're saying strong boundaries, it means that you are consistent and following through. But then of course, we're throwing in a few of these extra things like, okay, but trust your gut. And so if there's a connection space, then that feels really good and peaceful, then it's okay to lean into that. And some of it ends up being a little bit of trial and error, because sometimes those moments are really, really key and helpful in connecting and moving relationship forward and healing. And then other times there are moments you might have that you think, oh, I can maybe not hold this boundary as strong, and then, you know, it comes back and bites you, and then you learn and grow. So,
which is okay. I mean, that's a good really point. Is. You're going to learn and grow. Give yourself space for that.
Yeah. You might have times where you come up with a boundary that you think is going to be good, and it ends up being really too strong, you know, too harsh or too much, and actually keeps you from being aware of what the other person is experiencing and connecting with them at a level where you're able to understand what's going on for them. Or you may really not want to set a boundary, and so you set a very, you know, very small one, and then realize, oh, this isn't enough for me and what I need and what our relationship needs. Yeah. So you are definitely going to be learning and growing through the process, and it is okay to make mistakes. Sometimes it feels like it's not okay. I have a lot of clients that feel like, well, you know, I'm not allowed to make mistakes in boundary setting, because then that or it's somehow going to ruin our relationship, or, you know, they may have a spouse that isn't as supportive around that and doesn't want boundaries. And so if you mess up in how you're doing your boundary, there's consequences, then they punish you for that. So again, this is, I think, one of those big things that you just want to make sure you're working with a therapist around that can kind of help you navigate, help you understand, okay, maybe that's a little too weak, or maybe that's a little too strong. And what we want to make sure, though, is that you are being consistent and following. I love that David said that, because I think that is something that I see a ton in my in my practice as well, is that when people aren't being consistent with the boundaries, like that's often the reason why progress isn't being made with the couple, and they're just struggling for a longer, you know, longer time. And then we look at, okay, well, oh, these boundaries aren't being consistently maintained. And so then the couple is feeling just a little bit all over the place.
Yeah.
The betrayed spouse is feeling like, oh, they're not really being respectful of me. The struggling spouse is feeling like, well, I just don't even know where the limit is. Like, one day it's this, and then the next day it's that. And they're going
to
be very anxious
to do everything they can.
Hopefully, yeah.
To try to
help.
Maintain, help, build, heal. Yep. And it maybe often is faster than you're ready for. And it's often faster than they're ready for because they don't even understand it themselves yet.
Yeah. So I think sometimes at the beginning, finding that balance with a therapist of this is a good spot for us to be, and then just be really consistent with it.
Yep.
And there might be a little less room where you're like kind of going back and forth and maybe doing a little more, a little less right initially as you're trying to establish that. And then you can start feeling a little bit better what feels right as you're moving forward.
Yep.
But boundaries are essential. They are essential in this process of healing and really essential in life in general.
Yeah.
Right? This is something that I feel like a lot of people don't experience and don't learn and grow up with. And then you have issues in a lot of different places in life. So this is certainly a good place to be practicing those.
Yep. And for more information, look up the boundaries episodes for
look
sure.
Look at all the boundaries episodes we have. We have lots of them. So the third one that we want to talk about for the betrayed partner is focusing on creating purpose from the pain, creating meaning from suffering. And that might seem a little odd, potentially. Like, wait, this is part of helping me heal. Like, what does this have to do with the fact that my spouse is acting out or betraying me? But it's actually a really important piece.
Yeah. A really important piece. If you're not able to, in time, this is a good phrase, time, not like the day of discovering something, but in time, you start to plant this seed that all of this hard, all of this challenge, all of this frustration, all of this hurt and betrayal is creating something more. So from the pain, there will come opportunity. And one of my favorite parts of this process is when we're able to strengthen someone's sense of self-worth because of the things they're going through.
Mm-hmm. It seems so odd. Yeah. You know, like I don't think a lot of betrayed partners come in like, oh, my whole life is shattered and you're telling me I'm going to strengthen my sense of self from this.
Yep. Cause you'll see, and you've heard us talk about this so many times, mental health is a commitment to reality at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that you are safer than you likely feel most of the time when you're thinking about what's happened.
Yeah.
And so we're learning how to ground and be secure with the reasons why we're secure instead of the reasons we thought we were, like everybody around me is doing what I think or what I want or what I need. And certainly your partner being loyal and dedicated is not unreasonable.
Right.
That's the understanding. That's right. The expectation. And if they're not those things, and we find this out, the relationship is fractured and it's going to take a lot to try to repair. But you yourself, in what makes you safe, why your heart beats, why you're you and not somebody else and totally unique, that remains.
Meaning in life, yeah.
So the idea really, there's going to be a lot of hard that you have to face, that you have to think about, but all within this context, ideally, that you are beloved either way, that you're safe either way. And so what is this experience or process actually going to help do for you? If you accept and if you choose in, because you absolutely can choose out, and I've seen plenty of that.
Mm-hmm.
To where it only seems to have a negative impact. But that's the power we have to turn bad experiences into good outcomes.
Right, right. That's kind of the thing that we see consistently over life that everyone really connects with, is those stories of people who have gone through really hard things and allowed it to transform them completely.
Yeah.
And that's what we want for you. Like, if you're going to have to go through something this hard, let's make it meaningful. Let's make it transformative. Let's help it propel you toward being your highest and best self. And I think there are a lot of things we can, I mean, there's a ton of things we can learn from these types of experiences.
And they're so good.
Yes.
I mean, a short list, your self-worth,
mm-hmm.
empathy, understanding yep. how to teach your children about who they are, mm-hmm. bigger than, separate from what they do.
Yep.
I mean, there are so many good things. If we embrace it, which we have to choose in, but if we embrace it, absolutely transform our lives. But you probably have heard this before too. We talked about the book, The Choice by Dr.
Yes.
Eva Edith Eger a while ago. And that's what the book is about, is, is you have a choice and you want to talk about some hard things.
Right. Yes.
Going through some hard things and overcoming hard things. Wow. So.
Yeah. It's, yes. Fantastic book. Definitely look that up if you're thinking about or struggling with. And I think, yeah, David's shortlist is like the tip of the iceberg. I mean, literally everything else. I mean, boundaries is one, like learning to be better with boundaries. That's a huge one. And then literally everything else on our list that we're going to talk about are all part of that.
Yep.
Right. And then I think there's all of those little personal individual things that come up to the surface. Like when we hit something that hard, it really exposes our own individual personal struggles and little things that we need to shift. Right. Kind of a refiner's fire kind of a thing.
Definitely.
Definitely pulls those out. So fantastic, really important piece to move forward on.
Yep. We're going to try to embrace it instead of just ignore it or deny it or run from it. So.
Yeah. Or focus on just the negative, like this has ruined my whole life kind of a thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Reminds me of the victimhood episodes we did recently. More
connections there.
Yep. Shout out
to
all
check those out. Yeah.
We are going to continue on this list in the next episode. So I hope this is helpful and please join us then.
We'll see you later. Thank you for listening to Two Therapists Talking. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you. Connect with us at twotherapisttalking.com or email podcast@twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.